You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Sticks in the Six podcast. Here are your co-hosts, Andrew Forbes, Peter Barrichini, and Alex Hobson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another afternoon broadcast here at Sticks in the Six, brought to you by the fine folks at the Indy Ale House and the Hockey Podcast Network. Episode 131 here with my co-hosts, Alex and Peter. I'm Andrew. And boys, we got not so much of a newsy week, but a few talking points here on our beloved Maple Leafs. But before we get to that, Peter, how you doing this week, buddy?
Doing great. Obviously with a lot of shows coming out and everything like that, I've got back into like the whole superhero craze, especially the DC universe right now. Like, I'm seeing Batman animated series, Superman. I'm seeing everything on like Netflix and TV right now. I'm just diving into that. If anybody knows, I'm a huge Batman fan, so watching all this DC stuff and getting back in tune with it, it's been on nonstop. Like, anytime I have a moment, I'm watching something DC related. So glad that the animated shows are coming back, because it's like a whole bunch of nostalgia for me right now.
There you go. Alex, what's going on, my friend?
Not too much. I've got a tea time stateside at 3:24 today. So the guy that I'm going with is currently filling in on air for someone on the rock station in the building that I work for, Hits FM. And his show ends at 2:00. So he has to make the half hour drive down to my place. And then we have to go to, it's just outside of Buffalo. It's in Lancaster, New York, where we're playing. And I'm a little worried because it's 40 minutes there from my house. And we're going to be cutting it real close. But I don't know. Hopefully this is one of those golf courses that aren't like ridiculously anal about showing up 15 minutes to the fucking money before your tee time, and then being in the tee box at the exact time. I'm a little worried, but I think we're going to be good. My afternoon's very crammed today.
I was going to say, you do the little courtesy call beforehand and just say, yeah, you know what? We might be we'll be 5-10 minutes late. Just, let the next group.
We're going to be fashionably late, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Due to the circumstances that were not present the day before when I booked this tee time. Yeah. I think then they're going to ask me for the circumstances. I'm just going to stutter.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Well, I got stuff going on. What do you want?
Hey, we got a Leaf podcast, so yeah.
Love that. And then he's gonna go, oh yeah, you're Alex from Sticks in the Six. All right, pass through.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. We got talking kind of before here. We went live, and Peter, I gotta like, you guys are younger than me. I know I kind of raised this, but like, I was talking to a guy at work last night, and there's this conversation, and I just saw Nashville Predators tweet out as well. The whole Oppenheimer and then Barbie movie right after. Yeah. I like, if there's a listener out there right now that's tuning in, or somebody that watches this or listens to this later and knows what the story is behind this, like, back-to-back movies, you're going to a historical flick and then you go see the Barbie film. I mean, tweet at us or comment or let us know what the hell this is.
Yeah.
What this whole situation is that's going on. Cause I don't get it. And maybe it's just my age. I don't know.
I'll tell you right now, the guy is coming from the guy that's the youngest on the show and should be the most tuned into stuff.
Well versed.
Like, I've got no clue. So
I can't. Yeah, he was saying they're like dressing up in suits, going to Oppenheimer, and then they jump over to the Barbie movie right away after. So
get a cowboy hat for Ryan Gosling or something like that.
Yeah, or... I don't know. I guess I don't know.
My explanation, and I said this like off air before we started too, I think it's just because they're so highly anticipated. Like Oppenheimer being like, you know, massive history flick, and then Barbie just being like a cult classic with like all the toys and everything. So it's like, I don't know. That's just my opinion right there, maybe. But you know what? It's yeah. I think it's called Barbenheimer or something like that from what I saw online. Yeah. I'm not 100% certain. So if anybody knows the actual name of the event, yeah, let us know, because we've been out of tune for, you know, a bit. Or like, I don't know. There's always like some sort of craze with pop culture that there's like a certain mashup, but it's just like, well, how did this even come about kind of thing? This is one of those instances.
Man, you know that theaters were shut down for like 2 years with COVID because like Barbie's all of a sudden like this have to see, must see, like
come
content.
Back.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. But anyways, a little bit of league news before we get into the thick of Leaf talk here. Dennis Mulligan, Leaf great, signed back over in the Swiss league with the Lions on a 5-year contract. So likelihood of him coming back to the NHL anytime soon is not high. And obviously he didn't reach the 20 goal mark that so good news for Mulligan jumping back home. Garrett Sparks, another former Leaf, signs a 1-year AHL contract with Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Good to see him back on the ice as well. One of the most emotional players I think we've seen in a long time in at least Leafs uni. So shout out to Garrett.
It's going to be an electric Sticks in the Six episode when the Leafs play the Penguins next year and Sparks is up starting because Jari got injured and he ends up shutting the Leafs out.
40 save shutout.
Yeah.
Cries in the post.
He cries. Yeah, I was just going to say he cries in the post-game interview.
Jeez. Yeah. The emotions. Another note, guys, Nike has cut ties officially for good with Hockey Canada. Again, there's a lot of news going on with Hockey Canada. We're not going to dive as deep as we have into it, but worth noting that there is speculation that the players that are responsible for what happened in London in 2018 at the World Junior Conference, that it could play out following this season or mid-season or what have you. I know there's some speculation out there that there is going to be some accountability at some point down the road. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But especially because all those players right now can't play internationally for Canada at the moment. So obviously Nike making a big decision there as well. It is unfortunate because it affects all levels of Hockey Canada. So it's not just the World Junior team. It's not just the men's side of things. It's the women's side and it's everything. So it is unfortunate in that sense, but at the same time, like obviously we've talked enough about, you know, the BS that's gone on behind the scenes at Hockey Canada and where it's at now. So hopefully they can reconcile some relationships to some extent as well.
I was just about to add, like, how big is like the new information going to come out that Nike had to fully cut it off after suspending it for about like the 6-month period and then reinstating it, and then literally right after that, like weeks after that, it literally comes back and saying, yeah, it's done, it's over.
Yeah and that's what I mean. Like, it's for them to kind of come out and like all this speculation that there is more information or that there is something coming. You know, like we could sit here and, you know, start the rumor mill and you know, get it going, but
we're not about that.
I mean, it's fun. It's fun.
It's fun, but yeah.
this is something a little bit more in depth and serious, and we don't know where the investigation's at and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot more going into it. A lot of moving parts at this point in time. And I'm sure Nike's not going to be the last one to really pull the plug on this relationship either. But with that, guys, let's jump into some Leaf talk. Right off the hop here, I want to talk about the rumors swirling about Nylander. Obviously with no contract signed, the idea that the two sides are still very far apart in terms of what they're going to get done, or if they get anything done for that matter. speculation from the Howard Berger is that there was talks with San Jose about bringing Erik Karlsson and a first round pick in 2024 over for William Nylander and Morgan Riley. Obviously, I shot back with, you know, Morgan Riley just signed a fresh contract, no movement clause. Why the hell would he waive it to go to San Jose, a rebuilding club at this point in time? The same reason why Erik Karlsson wants out of San Jose. Alex, I want to get your take on this speculative trade and the fact that, you know, William Nylander is constantly being thrown around in these trade rumors right now.
Big sigh of relief.
All I can say is that I don't think I've seen one person so committed to just spurting out bullshit. I'm sorry. With all due respect, like I think the fact that this rumor even made the rounds in Leafs Twitter is pretty embarrassing, because I don't think there's a world out there where the Leafs trade Morgan Riley after he signed that long-term deal, at least not for another couple of years. And to do it with him and Nylander in the same trade, and to go for Erik Karlsson, a guy who, you know, to his credit is very, very good. He just put up 100 points. He is also 33 years old and is making $11 million. So I understand that hypothetically there might be some retention involved, but this entire trade proposal was bogus, and I don't even think it deserves the time of day. So I figured I had to be brutally honest there. I don't want to be the guy that's like, nope, screw it, we're not talking about this on the show. But yeah, I don't know. I clicked on that. Once you click on that article and it's all colorful, random words are colored. It looks like a cut and paste ransom note. Like, I just
the think magazine that, clippings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just don't think it's worth talking about. So that's my take.
Peter, your thoughts on this this idea that there was or could be talks in place with the San Jose Sharks to bring over Karlsson?
Yeah. My eyes and head just hurt just reading that, actually, because obviously obviously, William Nylander is in a different situation, but he has a 10-team no trade list that he could submit. One, the San Jose Sharks are probably going to be on that list because he probably wants to go a contender and not to a team that's in a rebuilding stage right now, because he is in his prime. I don't think he wants to go to a bottom feeder team, with all due respect to the Sharks, because they are rebuilding. Don't think that's likely. And like Alex said, like we said before the show too, like Riley has a no movement clause. Why would Riley? Again, same situation. You're in a better spot to win with the Maple Leafs than you are with the San Jose Sharks right now. And then reading the actual tweet itself, Nylander and Riley from the Leafs to the Sharks for Karlsson and the first round pick. As much as I would love the Sharks, you know, lottery pick to draft Celebrini, Yzerman, Demidov, Levshunov, what have you, San Jose is the one going to be asking for a first round pick. They're not going to be giving up a first. Let's just make that perfectly clear right now. As they could give it up, but considering that they're in a rebuilding stage and considering that they're going to probably be in a top 10 spot next year, top 10, top five, no way that first round pick is coming back. They're like, that whole entire like proposal is just mind boggling at this point. And like, it said that we have to like come to these Nylander trade proposals right now, because at some point, if you can't get it done, you will have to trade them. But let's see what it plays out, because we're still in July, not even done August. They can still do work and work something out mid-season. Let's see where we at before the trade deadline, like January, February. Then you can make your decision on what you need to do. It's still a bit too early.
Yeah, I mean... I put it on there because like I wrote back and just noted before even reading the article, because I couldn't bring myself to fucking click on that clickbait. I mentioned that, you know, the no movement clause is there for Riley. Obviously, he's not gonna waive it to go to San Jose. And as you mentioned, Peter, if the pick's coming back, it's likely gonna be a top 10 protected anyways.
Yeah.
So the likelihood of it being a 2024 pick is very unlikely. On top of that, you know, Alex, you raised the point of age for Karlsson plus his salary. I mean, retention being there, even if it is, I mean, you know, you're still talking about a major, major jump in salary in moving those pieces. But at the same time, like, you've got two players with either a no movement clause or a modified no movement clause. My guess is that San Jose at this point in time is on Nylander's 10 team list. I would have to assume that it would be. I mean, obviously players love to go down to California and what have you, but why would you waive your no movement clause to go to a team that is at least 3 years away from even being competitive? Just to me, it doesn't make any sense. So, I had to pipe in because I eventually did click on the link and I read it through it. And he even mentions in the piece that, Riley's got this no movement clause, and it just in my head, I'm like, so then why the hell would you even propose this trade? Like, it just like none of it yeah. makes sense. You said it in the first paragraph that he's got a no movement clause. So
you think he's just randomly going to waive it and just be like, yeah, I signed it. I'm going to waive it for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me help you out with 5-6 more years left on my contract. I'll help you guys out and I'll go to San Jose so you can get Eric Carlson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's like if you were to let me go on like franchise mode in NHL 14 back when I was a high schooler and pulling all nighters and just eating Doritos and Mountain Dew and just turning force trades on and just doing whatever I want.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's I get this whole need to like throw out proposals for William Nylander, but
yeah. Let's make that clear. It's the dead of summer.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with trade proposals. I know we all get to a point in the summer when we're so deprived of hockey that the rot kind of gets into our brain and we start suggesting stupid shit that we probably wouldn't do in the middle of November. But this one is a little too far, I think.
I still think, though, too, there's got to be some kind of like respect factor for these players as well. Like, you're throwing names around, like, hey, Morgan Riley, yeah, we'll just throw you in here because Nylander's really the guy that we're trying to move. But yeah, what the hell? We'll get rid of, Morgan Riley as well. Now you're talking about a guy that's committed to this team, taking a pay cut to stay with the Leafs. And you're like, yeah, see you later.
Yeah.
Like,
sorry, buddy.
Yeah. So
I'm surprised you didn't throw Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews in that deal too.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Like, it's,
well, there was an article saying that the Leafs would be insane. Spell it out. Insane. Insane not to trade Austin Matthews for Erik Karlsson at the trade deadline. That was that was an actual article, by the way.
Wow, okay.
Here we go. We got a comment on YouTube from Dimmer17. Any trade involving Riley means this team loses any heart it has.
I agree.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. I think this guy's been there through like the hardest times of this franchise, like the year that they were dead last, got Austin Matthews, Morgan Riley was on that team, and he's helped kind of build the, I mean, I still at certain points am shocked that he didn't get the C over John Tavares, and I understand why, but at the same time, like this guy was your heart and soul through some of the toughest times of this franchise's recent history. And you'd be absolutely crazy to trade Morgan Riley at this point. I think you let him play out the remainder of his career with the Maple Leafs, but go ahead.
I just want to add one more quick thing about Carlson. Obviously, yeah, he had 101 points last year, but I'm going to jump to Roman Josi, who had 96 points in like last season or 21-22, the season before that. And he saw a significant drop down to 59 points. Now, the Preds were, a little bit more average than the San Jose Sharks, and what Carlson did on the Sharks is absolutely commendable. But who's to say that he's going to be in that 80-plus point range again if you're going to see that drop-off with his age and everything like that? And Roman Josi, too, is, 33 years old. So,
especially on the Leafs, like no offense to Carlson. I mean, he's a fantastic player. I don't think anybody takes anything away from him, but fucking Radko Gudas could have fucking scored 80 points on the San Jose Sharks because nobody was getting any points on the San Jose Sharks.
Like, can you imagine the contract that Radko Gudas would have gotten if he put up 80 points?
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're talking about a team that had zero offensive players aside from Timo Meier, who you ended up trading at the deadline anyways. Mm-hmm. So, outside of that, obviously, there's players that would not normally put up on a good team, they wouldn't put up the same amount of points as they would on the San Jose Sharks. And that's just, it's just the way that, you know, the cookie crumbles, I guess, you know. But yeah, I jumping back to Nylander for a quick second here too. I think you're a year out from when his contract's done. I don't think that, like, the speculation on him not re-signing or him needing to be traded should not even pick up until, like, I don't know. Let's get the puck dropped on next season before we even yeah. start talking about the fact that we need to trade him. Because, like, I mean, at the end of the day, this has clearly been one of your more consistent players over the last few seasons. Like, to sit there and say, yeah, we need to get rid of William Nylander is just it seems asinine at this mm-hmm. point.
And the thing too, that, like I said, I think you would have a clear picture, like at least by January, where you stand with that. I think that's going to be the kind of deadline, as opposed to November last time when, you know, because of his RFA situation, I think that'll be the deadline where you have to think that, you know what, it's not going anywhere. Let's try and look and shop him. But then again, are you going to find a better return than Nylander in the playoffs? You could probably use him as an own rental and then probably shop his rights after the season's done if you need to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And Dimmer 17 again, Carlson played zero defense last year. That's how he achieved the point total. I mean, for sure. Like, he was a minus 26. Again, it goes back to the team that he played for, I think. So, I mean, if you're a plus minus guy, I mean, minus 26, obviously is something that you don't want to see, but at the same time, you look at the team as a whole and their analytic numbers mm-hmm. certainly wouldn't be where you want it to be either. So I think there's a lot of question marks there. Age is a question mark. Salary is a question mark. I just, like, the whole Howard Berger trade proposal is just asinine. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think it's something that, you know, people kind of, we talked about this last week, I think, you know, talking about the Hockey Writers as a new media type thing. And, you know, it's, people like to comment and say it's a blog, but I mean, this kind of shit is the stuff that is,
that's not even a blog worthy.
Yeah. I mean, it's an opinion. Like, what'd you compare it to, Alex? It's like a Steve Simmons, like, Sunday it's like, thoughts it's like a, or whatever. It's like a
Sunday notes on crack. Yeah, that's what it is. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid. Anyways, quick note before we get to our next point here, from the Indy Ale House. Rumor season is back, and with it, so are the Maple Leafs. Getting ready for a night out or watching some baseball at home with the gang, what better way to do it than with a nice cold one from the folks at Indy Ale House in Toronto, with two locations in the city at Eataly Toronto at Bay and Bloor, the Biroteca location. They have two big screens, amazing authentic Italian food, and loads of beer. Also at the OG Brew Pub in the Junction at Keele and Dundas with 120 seats, famous bar food, and 12 taps. Indy Ale House is an award-winning brewery featuring their flagship Instigator IPA and dozens of rotating monthly special release beers. Perfect for takeout, dine-in, or bottle shop online orders when planning for game night. You can find Instigator IPA and Marco Polo Pilsner at finer LCBOs across the province as well. Hashtag LiveIndy is the motto. Adventurous, fun-focused beers with a selection for everyone, from a healthy dose of in-your-face hoppy beers for the beer geeks to mainstream pilsners and easy drinking options. Indy Ale House is the go-to for game day. Gentlemen, there's been some talk about TJ Brody as a possible buyout candidate or a trade option as well. Peter, let's throw it to you first on TJ Brody. Is this a realistic conversation, or would the Leafs even consider buying a guy out like TJ Brody?
Well, we already know what the cost of his buyout calculated or buyout contract would be. It would probably be a 0 year one, but you're probably looking at, you know, 2.5 million as a result in year two. I'm just going to double check. Yeah. 2.5 million in year two. Yeah. The cap's going to go up, but you could use every single dollar of that. And obviously it's kind of the same situation like Matt Murray. And I know you've wrote about this, Forbes, where if you could get a trade for TJ Brody, I think that would probably be a win, because, you know, $5 million, that's a hell of a lot of money that you could save up on. And obviously, you know, Treliving kind of still has that connection with Brody as well. I think he's here to stay. But if you can find a suitable replacement over him where he can still eat minutes, still have that two-way game be great to defend against the Russian quick and be quick on breakouts. I think that's going to be very ideal. But, you know, there's a lot of talk going on right now about who an ideal candidate could be to replace Brody. Like, are you looking at, you know, someone on Calgary, like Nikita Zadorov, who's big, physical, has that, you know, what did the Trey Living say? Piss, not in vinegar that he plays with as well. Mm-hmm. He adds to that whole entire thing, which makes him tougher, which is great. But, you know, let's not kid ourselves. Brody is still an effective player. He didn't quite have that in the playoffs, but it's tough to find a player that can excel at what he does. And, you know, I don't think, again, kind of like a Nylander situation, you should only make a trade if you're getting a good return, but that cap space is going to be huge to like alleviate yourself of $5 million. And again, you know, you want to, if you want to make another deep run, you need a defenseman like TJ Brody. So are you going to trade him for an improvement? I think that's the only situation, but I think we still see him even past the deadline if that's the case.
Alex, what are your thoughts on the whole TJ Brody speculation?
I think it's something that's only going to happen if True Living wants to upgrade that decor and maybe bring in a big name, not a big name per se, but someone a little bigger than John Klingberg, for example. Like if they were to swing a trade for Brett Pesce or something like that, then I could definitely see them parting with TJ Brody. I definitely don't think that they're going to buy him out. I think that'd be a little pointless. It wouldn't be worth paying or eating the bit of that salary just for this year. He's got 1 year left, and you know, I think people's opinions on him may have shifted because of how much he was ridden in the playoffs when he was with Jake McCabe. But I still think he's a perfectly capable defenseman. I think that the Leafs get a lot worse defensively if they get rid of him. So I could see them potentially moving him or considering moving him if it were in a trade for a bigger, like to upgrade the defense. But aside from that, I don't think there's a point in buying him out. I think that's kind of a moot point.
Yeah, I agree. I think right now, like the conversation around Matt Murray is that there's a potential buyout there. And to do that and then go back and buy out Brody as well, just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me long-term. Plus, you know, we can talk all we want about how Brody was in the playoffs and, you know, a couple mistakes here and there that, you know, may not have been very Brody-esque. But at the same time, like, you know, all season long, he's one of the more reliable defensive defensemen. And some of the plays he makes, you can see how he's helped this team defensively on two-on-one breaks and odd man rushes. And I don't know, just the history with True Living and TJ Brody, I just don't see it happening. It's not, you know, I think he has a lot of respect for him. I think, you know, he mentioned it coming in too, that the respect that he has for Gio and Brody is so high and he's happy to have the two of them back. And it doesn't seem realistic to me. Trade option again, you know, unless a guy like Timothy Liljegren, and we'll get into him in a second, has like a breakout year and suddenly turns into this all-star type of defenseman, I just don't see it being a realistic option for them moving forward. I mean, you talked about them this year bringing in, you know, Jordy Benn and Victor Mete and extra guys, Erik Gustafsson, to have on the back end going into the playoffs. You're going to need the same thing going into the playoffs this year as well if that's the route they go. So I don't see him being a guy that they look to move at any point throughout the year. Just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. So
Justin Hall had 139 block shots. Now we all complained about Justin Hall in the past, but you know, we also complained about Brody in the playoffs, but at least Brody wasn't on for like 14, 15 goals against at 5-on-5. But also, you know, Justin Hall was a capable shot blocker, 139. Brody was right behind him at 111. You know, if you trade away Brody, then you lose two guys in your defensive zone that were able to get into the lanes and block shots. And then Timothy Liljegren, which we get to as well, had 93. So there's that, you know, little bit of a offensive advantage over Justin Hall, plus the defensive mindset that Liljegren has to try and replicate that. And again, you take away Brody and the fact that he could get into the lanes minus Justin Hall and his 139 block shots, then you're back at square one. Well, who are we going to have? It's sort of like that defensive stay-at-home D-man, and I think Brody can do that with a little bit more offense as well.
Yeah, yeah, no question. No question. He's a useful piece on that back end. And you mentioned Liljegren, and I want to get into this conversation as well because obviously, you know, we talked about it a little bit last season in Sheldon Keefe having a favorite in Justin Hall and continually pushing him to be out there. And, you know, the mistakes that he made, it just kind of compiled over the season. And come playoff time, it was a big question mark as well. And the guy sitting in place of him was Timothy Liljegren. And, you know, we've talked about his development over the last two seasons and what he's done for this team. But now with Brad Tree living in there, Sheldon Keefe, obviously still the coach. Peter, are we talking about a guy that potentially could have a fresh start in terms of, you know, maybe he gets a better opportunity. Maybe he gets more ice time. Maybe he sees, you know, some playoff action this year, not just as a fill-in. In certain games and a guy that maybe can take that next step. I mean, he's still very young, still a lot of opportunity ahead of him, still a lot of hockey to play, but we want to see more from Timothy Liljegren as Leafs Nation. So what are your thoughts on him and potentially taking that next step this season?
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And I've been a big advocate of Liljegren. Yeah, there are times where, you know, you may look to trade him, but there are times where he was showing that he was capable of being an NHLer. And, you know, we always talk about defensemen taking a little bit longer to develop. He's 24 right now. He's still young. And let's not kid ourselves. He came over like to North America post draft in 2017 when I think he was just like still 17, 18 years old. You know, he was still very, very young and he took a while for everything to adapt, but he's rounding out his game. And, you know, I'm expecting right now him to try and push for a top four role right now. And that maybe it's still a little bit, you know, of a reach given the fact that, you know, on the right side right now, he's got to battle John Klingberg. Brody's on the right side, but he can still play left. So I think if you have, you know, Brody and Riley as one pairing, then maybe rotate between McCabe and Liljegren. I mean, Klingberg and Liljegren on the right side with McCabe, where you have another steady defensive partner. I think they could work wonders from him because he can now play with a guy that can still jump into the rush, play that same two-way game as him. And obviously, when you look at like the amount of shots from defensemen or amount of goals from defensemen, it wasn't that great. I mean, Riley had 126 shots, but, you know, how many of them were actually quality shots because he only had four goals? You know, we know he's more of a playmaker, but he's got to take more shots. And Liljegren led the team in goals with six on 84 shots, 7.1 shooting percentage, the highest on the team. Of course, aside from, you know, Connor Timmins as well, but he was in a smaller sample. I think that this is going to be a big season for Liljegren. I think he's going to be a breakout player. I said that last year, and it looked like it when he was playing well with Rasmus Sandin. But I think right now, with a little bit more veterans that he's playing with, I think it's going to be huge for his confidence going forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Alex, your thoughts on Liljegren possibly taking that next step, and what can we see or expect from him this season?
Yeah, I think that with Hall out of the picture, the options that you're looking at for players who could play alongside of Timothy Liljegren are either a Jake McCabe or a TJ Brody or a Mark Giordano. And I think if he's playing alongside any of those players, I think he's looking great. And, you know, Peter, I tossed out a hot take last year. It didn't end up happening, obviously, but I think I tweeted something along the lines of Timothy Lilligren's going to put up 40 points this year. At the beginning of last year, and it didn't happen, but
it did seem realistic though.
Yeah. At the time before he was injured, I'll
that's
mention,
true. Yeah. But,
I do think that at some point he's going to break out, and I think he breaks out whenever you trust him and give him the opportunity. I always tell people who doubt Timothy Liljegren and say, you know, he might not be ready. You got to put him on the bottom pairing, et cetera. You got to shelter him. It's things like that. I always tell him that he was a second overall pick projection at some point. Like he was originally back when Nolan Patrick was the guaranteed first overall pick in that 2017 draft. Timothy Liljegren was right behind him, and he only slipped because he got mono that year and, you know, missed a lot of time, didn't really look good when he played. And because of all that, it was a little harder for scouts to get a read on him. But this guy's got potential, and I'm not saying he's going to be a number one defenseman someday, but I think you're absolutely looking at a capable top four defenseman. And if he doesn't do it in Toronto, he's going to do it somewhere else. So I'd really like for them to be patient with him and give him that proper opportunity, because I think that, especially since that Klingberg's only on a 1-year deal, if you let him get accustomed to playing heavier minutes this year, I think that by the time next year comes around, I think it's possible he could have more of an offensive game and maybe could be ready to take a power play quarterback role on the team next year. So I definitely think that it's a good call, and I think that they should definitely be giving him some extra minutes, because I think he's proven that he deserves it. He just hasn't really had the space to do so.
I'm going to keep it short and sweet here, guys, because I think you guys nailed it. I think this season we saw a lot of potential from him. The goals that he scored, he was getting to open spots along the blue line. He was walking the line well. He was skating well. He was giving himself open looks. I do agree with you, Alex. I think at some point he's going to be quarterback in this power play. I think the Leafs traded Sandin because they saw more of a future with Liljegren. And that's I don't foresee them, even though Dubas is gone, I don't foresee them, you know, changing that mentality up, especially because Shanahan's still at the helm. I believe he was part of the decision making when they did trade Sandin. I think there was probably a lot of talk internally about, you know, which way to go. And I think they landed on Liljegren having more potential, you know, further along in their careers. And I think we're going to see that as he continues to grow. I think he's going to develop well with whatever player he ends up with, whether it be Brody, whether it be Giordano, whether it be, you know, Jake McCabe. But there's a lot of potential for maybe an older veteran to kind of give him that extra jump. But yeah, I see there's a lot of potential there with him, and I think there's a there's a high ceiling for him as well. So I can't foresee them moving him at any point, especially with, you know, what they have in the system right now, who's ready. It just it doesn't make sense unless they were to bring somebody else in, and John Klingberg wasn't brought in to be a replacement for Liljegren. If anything, yeah, Liljegren's going to be, you know, the replacement for John Klingberg at some point. So,
and even so, he played a key role for Sweden, despite Sweden not playing well at the World Championships. You know, 4 points in 5 games. I mean, getting those minutes and opportunities, how much do you think that's going to work for his confidence as well, coming over to the NHL, where it's like, okay, you know, I am capable of playing important roles. Now I just got to keep showing it. I think that's going to go well for his confidence too, just even at a small tournament like that, despite this Sweden not having the best outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, Alex, I wouldn't jump off that 40-point mark that you had set last season for him yet. And I, you know, maybe place a little bet on it on DraftKings Sportsbook. And for those of you who are new customers, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. Bet just $5 to score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in West Virginia, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. Max bet $50. 10 plus leg required for 100% boost. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/baseball terms. And boys, before we close it out here, just one last comment from Dimmer17, who thanks to Dimmer for tuning in for the full episode here. I disagree. Lilligren is a sixth defenseman at best. He's had an eternity to get it together and cannot make the playoff lineup. Not strong enough to play the front of the net. Timmins is an AHL defender. I think, you know, I understand where he's coming from on this comment. Obviously, you know, we it's taken Lilligren a little bit longer to get to the place that he needs to be. And I think he's, I don't think he's fully developed into what, you know, he was over in Sweden. I think there's a lot, like I said, I think there's a lot of potential. His ceiling's still high. Still an extremely young defenseman. And remember, like, with his development, he's missed out on a year with COVID. He's had mono. He's had a few injuries since coming over to North America. So the development process has changed a little bit for him as well. And in that sense, I think you give him a little bit extra time to see what he's made of and the potential that he can rise up to. I don't know if you guys agree, but that's kind of where I sit on that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it for sure because, you know, he took a little bit to get his footing in the AHL. And then obviously he, you know, he was kind of up and down between the Leafs and the Marlies in 2021, the COVID year. And then he played his first full season or like full quote unquote, if you want to call it that, in 2022. So it does feel like it has been a while since he was drafted in 2017. But, you know, for a guy like him, I think you got to give him a little more time just because he's, you know, this is only his second. He's only played two seasons in the NHL. And I think for defensemen of his type, it's a slow development process, but the rewards are worth it when you get there. And I think as long as he develops some sort of an offensive game at some point, then I think it'll be fine because there is truth in the fact that he's not strong enough to clear the front of the net. He's not a big physical guy in front of the net, but if you pair him with someone that is, I think eventually at his peak, he'll be a puck moving defenseman. And I think he just needs to get the ice time to prove that. So.
And the big thing for me with Lilligren is his board play is stronger than the net front presence. I will agree that he needs to get a little bit tougher, you know, clearing bodies out. But then again, like Alex said, if he's paired up with a Jake McCabe who can deal with that, I think that's going to be huge and it'll alleviate some of that pressure off. But also, like I said before, with his development, like as soon as he was drafted, he made the jump over to the Marlies. And every single season, you know, he got more comfortable playing more minutes and he was even playing healthy minutes under Sheldon Keefe as well. 2019-20. Yeah. Keefe was the coach at that time before I can't remember when he made the jump to being the Maple Leafs bench boss as well. I think it was that season because, you know, Babcock got fired, but you know, for a player who has that, who was all offense before, but was also developing that two-way aspect, it showed his willingness to grow as a player and round out his game. And the fact that it's still taken a little bit longer where maybe he didn't make the jump after years two or three, I think it just shows a testament to how great he's willing to put in the work.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he brings this year, obviously starting the season off in Sweden as the Leafs make that global series trip. Will be good for him as well, being back home close to family. So we'll see how his season goes. Like I said, throw a little money on maybe a 40-point season for Timothy Lilligren. Let's see what he does. But, boys, I know, Alex, you got to run. You got a nice tea time south of the border. So excited
enjoy,
for you.
Yeah,
enjoy
in my it, case, it's a little more like east of the border.
East of the border. There you go. But, gentlemen, as always, thanks to Dimmer for tuning in.
Thank you.
And Liam as well. Big shout out to THPN for hosting us as always. If you are heading to a concert or a sporting event in the next little while, use SeatGeek. Sign up using code STICKSINTHESIX. That's STICKSINTHE6IX. And you'll get $20 off your first purchase. Otherwise, make sure you follow us all on Twitter at Andrew G. Forbes, at A. Hobson Media, and at P. Barachini, or you can follow the show on any of the platforms below. As always, make sure you subscribe on YouTube. And this episode will be up on all streaming platforms as of tomorrow morning. So until next week, Peter, it's been fun. It's been swell. And yes. Hopefully we see some more of Dimmer 17 and his great takes next week as well.
Absolutely.
For now, that's it for episode 131 of Sticks in the Six.